to bring greetings this morning in Jesus' precious name. A blessing to be here and to share in the worship service. And I trust that we'll continue to open our hearts before God and listen to what God has for us. That's the title of my message this morning, Listening to God, Listening on God. Let's turn to Psalm 95. I'm going to read this psalm. It's a beautiful psalm. It says, Come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills are His also. The sea is His. He made it. In His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the sheep of His pastures. We are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, is a people that do err in their heart. They have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, our God, is on the throne, and He wants to speak to us today. He wants us to hear from Him. And here He says, if we hear His voice, it says today, if you hear His voice, you know, how do we hear the voice of God today? This morning we had a meeting with about 4 or 5 converts that want to be baptized. And I know that their testimony is that they heard God speaking to them. God spoke to them and convicted them of their sin. And I believe that's beautiful. God comes in His tender, still small voice in the night. I've heard the testimonies of different ones. They couldn't sleep at night. God was speaking to them. And in the wee hours of the morning, they would get up and go for help. They can't sleep. They're under conviction. And they respond to the voice of God. That's beautiful. But you know, I think the most important issue for the church today is that every member learns to hear the voice of God and responds to the voice of God. Listening to God, listening on God. You know, when you talk to your children and you want them to obey you, you say, listen on me. You expect that they're going to do more than just listen with their ears. It's a listening that results in action. And listening on God that results in a persuasion and a convincing that brings forth action. And that's the kind of listening on God that I think every one of us needs to learn how to listen on God, to hear the voice of God first, and learning to respond to the voice of God, being convinced of His voice, of His Word, and responding as God, in respond in obedience to God and in service to God. How we hear His voice. There are different ways that we hear the voice of God. Like I said, we have the still small voice that comes to us in the wee hours of the morning and brings conviction on us for sin. I believe reading the Bible is a way of hearing the voice of God. We read the Bible, we read the truths of God's Word, and we know God's will is revealed to us in the Word of God. God ordained preaching as a way of revealing His truth. Preaching is something that was ordained of God, that men would speak the truth. And in speaking the truth, you hear the truth with your ears, but you hear it with your heart. That's the burden this morning, that we hear the Word, not only with our ears, but we hear it with our heart. And it comes into our heart, and it changes our life. It affects the things we do, and affects the way we live. I believe we can hear the voice of God in, like Brother Mark mentioned this morning, about in conversation with a friend. You can lead a conversation in a direction of spiritual things, and it can bring conviction. It can bring light on someone. I believe simply observation can be a way of hearing the Word of God by seeing what God has done in someone else's life, by seeing what the grace of God working in someone else's life can be a voice speaking to me, can be the voice of God speaking to my heart. And I believe that God speaks to us in all these ways. Circumstances is something. Maybe through the death of a loved one, or through an accident, or something that an illness, or just an encounter with someone can be a way of God's speaking to us. A way of hearing the voice of God. God works in marvelous ways. His wonders superform. He works in mysterious ways. There's many ways that God's voice can be heard in our lives. God's voice is in nature. The Bible says that the nature cries out the voice of God and speaks of His marvelous and wondrous things. Like I read here this morning in Psalm 95, of the nature and God's great creation, the marvelous things of God are the voice of God speaking to humanity. That's why people want to worship something. They don't know about God, but they still want to worship something because nature is preaching to them that they need to turn their heart to a higher power. And my burden this morning is that we learn to hear the voice. And I think that which is so beautiful in a church where everyone is in tune with God, is in tune with the voice of God, is in tune with the heart of God, and we are all responding to the heart of God. That's the church that I want to be a part of. That's the church, that's the vision I have for this church. That we all have our hearts in tune with God, and we are all responding to the voice of God in our life. We may be in different situations. We may be responding to different things. But God speaks in a way of drawing us unto Himself and leading us into light. As we walk in the light. This thought here that I read about harden not your hearts is in the provocation. This is referring to the Old Testament times, whenever the Jews were going through the wilderness and they rejected the voice of God, and they murmured and they complained, and they forgot the things that God did to them. They forgot the things that God did for them. And they complained. One place it said, "These 10 times you have complained. You have wearied me." And they would forget God and forget the hearing the voice of God. And I think of when Moses was told to speak to the rock. He didn't listen. He struck the rock instead. And many other things. What they did, they were told to how to live and how to follow God, and they didn't listen on God, and they got in trouble, and they grieved God. And this is the lesson that David is writing here, where he says about that, don't be as the children of Israel and harden your heart when you hear the voice of God, but listen on God and submit to God and walk with God in the way that He speaks to you and the way that He leads you. And back in Hebrews, we have this same thought again. In Hebrews chapter 3, he brings this up. He quotes the scripture in Psalms a number of times. And we want to look at this chapter basically as our text in Hebrews chapter 3. Begin reading in verse 1. It says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." I believe that is the voice of God speaking to every one of us continually, to consider Jesus. This is the voice that we want to hear. This is the voice that we want to respond to. The voice of Jesus. Consider Him, the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. And in doing that, I want to look at Isaiah chapter 53 and think of all the things that Christ has done for us, the things that we need to consider in relation to Christ, what He has, who He is and what He is, and where are we in how we respond to His voice. In Isaiah 53, "Consider Him who hath believed our report, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed. Says, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and we shall see him. There's no beauty that we should desire him." That's our Christ. This is the Christ that we are to consider. The Christ, Jesus. There's no beauty about him that we should desire him. He would grow up out of a dry ground. It says he was despised. He was rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. We didn't want to listen to him. We didn't want to hear him. All of us have rejected him in our day. We didn't want to hear the voice of God. We turned our ears away from him. We hid our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. That's every one of us in this room. We have done that to him. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our chastisement. For the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Jesus, this is what he did for us. Consider him. He did all this for us, and yet we rejected him. We turned our back on him. We didn't listen to him. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one of us to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. It's so beautiful. God, the Son of God, Jesus, the Son of God, the iniquity of every one of us was laid on him so that we can go free. The iniquities of the whole world was laid on him. And he took it to Calvary for us. And yet we esteemed him We turn our ears from Him. We turn our eyes from our eyes from Him. We our faces from Him. We despised Him and we esteemed Him not. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet opened not His mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before her shears is dumb, so He opened not His mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare His generation? For He was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was He stricken. He made His grave with the wicked and with the rich in His death, because He had done no violence, neither was any deceit in His mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He had put Him to grief. When thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin, He shall see His seed, and He shall prolong His days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. He shall see the travail of His soul, and shall be satisfied. By His knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for He shall bear their iniquities. This is the Jesus that we want to consider this morning. This is the Jesus that we want to have our hearts tuned into. We want to be listening to Him. We want to be listening on Him. But naturally, every one of us have turned our ears and our faces from Him. It says, therefore, I will divide Him a portion with the great, and He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because He hath poured out His soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors. He bare the sins of many and made intercession for transgressors. You and me, Jesus, He bare the iniquity. I think of the scapegoat in the wilderness that was the Jews used to confess their sins on Him, and they would send Him out into the wilderness and He would bear their sins for a time. But Jesus, He bore our sins forever. He bore our sins on the cross so that we no longer need to be. We are no longer guilty. As we receive Jesus into our heart and we believe Him, we hear Him, we receive the message of salvation, we have that forgiveness of sins. We have that hope of heaven, which is not which none of us deserve. But it's because of His great love for us. Let's consider Him this morning. Let's turn our hearts to Him. Let's turn our eyes to Him. Turn our ears to Him, that we might hear Him. And you know that He is no longer, He sent His Holy Spirit. He sent His Holy Spirit to us so that we can have that voice, that we can still hear that voice of Him speaking to us and guiding us and leading us throughout life. Consider Him. And it says, Him who was faithful to Him that appointed Him, as was Moses, was faithful in all his house. For this man was accounted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he had built a house hath more honor than a house. For every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God. We see Christ, not only was He there born as a babe in a manger, but He was in eternity. He was there when the earth was created. He was there when you and I were created. He was there when man was created. Jesus was not only there in the as a babe in the manger and as a Christ on the cross, but He was there at the creation, and He created all things. All things were created by Him. It says, but Christ is the Son of His own house, whose son are we, for we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing firm unto the end. And it says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, They do always err in their heart, that they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. This is the concern this morning, that we are not as those that have hardened our hearts and turned our ears away, but that we listen, that we hear God, and we hear the voice of God and respond to His voice. He says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. This morning we talked to a class this morning about how that we deal with our sins whenever we are born again. But as we go through life, there are things come up that we need to deal with again. And this is where we need to hear the voice of God. That convicting voice speak to us when we fall, when we come short, when we fail. We need to hear, be in tune with God so that conviction will speak when it speaks to us, that we respond to that. And we sometimes need to make confession of sin. We need to deal with sin in our life as we go through life. As the Lord shows us things, we need to respond, and we need to walk in the way that He would have us to. And it said, take heed, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. You know, that can happen, that the evil heart of unbelief can rise up, and sin can take over, and we can find ourselves departing from God. But it says, but exhort one another daily, while it's called today. Exhorting one another is where we are. Again, hearing one another, exhorting one another, and encouraging one another, and listening to one another about the things of God. That's how we are fed. That's how we are encouraged. That's how we have light for the way as we listen to the things that we hear from day to day. As we come together and exhort one another in the things of God. Lest any of you be hardened through deceit. Exhort one another daily, as is called today. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is deceitful, and it will creep in ways that we know not of. Attitudes can be destructive. Bitterness in our heart can destroy us. We need to hear the conviction of God, and we need to respond and clean up our lives when God speaks to us. We need to have our hearts open and tune with Him, so that when the Spirit speaks to us of sin in our lives, it speaks to us of dangers that we are facing. It warns us of things that we should, things that we should not do. I think as we go through life, the world, there's so many attractions out there. There's so many things that can allure us. Are we in tune with God so that we know when to say no? We know when to turn away. We know when not to go and not to become involved. We hear the voice of God wants to guide us in these things. The Spirit of God will show us where we are wrong and where we should go and where we should not go. I believe the voice of God will speak to us as we have opportunities. We need to be in tune with God whenever we have opportunities to share the gospel, that we know where the opportunities are, and we know the right thing to say and how to say it and when to say it. The God will speak to us and show us those things. God will lead us and guide us through these experiences, that we have our ears in tune with God. We listen to Him. We respond to Him. We will experience many blessings in serving God as we learn to walk in the light and hearing His voice and responding to His voice as we do. Verse 14 says, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Again it says, while it is said, today if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. It says, for some, when they heard, did provoke, howbeit not all of them come out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? But to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. So it's unbelief that we hear the voice of God and don't respond to it. That is unbelief. When we don't listen to God, we don't hear God. I want to go on into chapter 4 also. It says, let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. I believe these promises, God wants us to hear His promises. He wants us to know His promises. He wants us to listen to His promises. And as we grasp those promises in our heart, and we embrace them, God's going to secure our hope in Him. And we need not to fear of entering into His rest. But in order to know the promises of God, we need to hear them. We need to listen to them. We need to read the Bible. We need to study the Bible. We need to hear the Word of God. God's Word is powerful. It says, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well unto them. But the word preached did not profit, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. The Word of God, that's the difference between hearing, between listening to the truth, and listening on God. I believe listening to God, or listening to the Word, or listening on the Word, is whether you have faith mixed in with it. If you hear the Word and don't have faith in it, and don't respond to it, it's not profitable. But when you hear the Word and have faith and you believe in it and you respond to it, then it is going to bring glory to God. It's going to bring forth fruit in your life. And that's the kind of hearing I'm talking about this morning. The hearing of faith. The hearing that is mixed with faith. That kind of listening will bring forth fruit in your life. It will bring forth growth in your life. It will bring forth victory in your life. But if you just hear with your ear and you don't hear with faith, you don't respond with faith, it's not going to benefit you. It's not going to bring forth growth. It's not going to edify you or the church. It says, for we which have believed to enter into rest, as he said, as I sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works are finished from the foundation of the world. And he spake in a certain place on the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest on the seventh day from all his works. Here I believe he's talking about the spirit, that of believing, when we believe in the salvation of our souls, we enter into a rest of peace with Him. We enter into a rest for our souls where we no longer are tormented and we're no longer are driven by Satan, but we can have a rest where we can have that security and peace of Jesus in our heart. We can know that we are His and that we are dwelling in Him and that we have His power and presence within us. It says, in this place again, it says, if ye shall enter into this rest, seeing therefore there remaineth that some must enter therein, and they that whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. It says again, he limited a day, saying to David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. And I believe that Jesus has... He's made that way that we can enter in not only into the rest of sins forgiven, but that we can look forward to that rest in heaven where we can have complete deliverance from temptation and deliverance from our bodily weaknesses and sicknesses and deliverance from sin, deliverance from tears. There'll be no sorrow, there'll be no tears. God will wipe away the tears and we can have that rest that is an eternal rest. That's what every one of us are looking forward to. said, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any of us should fall after the same example of unbelief. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. This is the Word of God that we want you to hear, we want you to listen to. Is the Word of God is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints of marrow. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of your heart. And I believe that that is why God speaks individually to every one of us in the way that He understands our hearts and our needs. He speaks to the need of our heart at that time, at the situation that we are facing. God sees every one of us. There's nothing that we can hide from Him. There's nothing that we can deceive of Him, because He sees our hearts. He sees our thoughts. He sees the intents of our heart. He knows why we're here this morning. He knows what our desires are this morning. God is in control of those things. Since neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him in whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What would be the use of coming to God boldly to the throne of grace if we didn't expect Him to answer, if we didn't expect Him to respond to our needs? I know God does respond. God does come when we have questions, when we need answers. We come boldly to God and we ask God for answers. God will give us answers. If we have our ears open, if we're listening to God, we can come to God and God will give us answers. God has answers to all of our questions. We don't need to grope around in darkness, not knowing where we're going. God has the answers as we come to Him boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He will answer if we want to hear. And if we hear, let's listen on Him. Let's respond to Him. Let's respond to God in the way that He can change our life, that He can impact our life, that our life is no longer, that our life can be conformed into the image of God, that we're no longer groping in darkness, but we have the light of life, and we have the Spirit of God within us to guide us and to direct us and to speak to us and to show us the way. God is speaking to each one of us. And I know He wants every one of us to respond and to surrender our lives to God as He would guide us to. I had to think of some characters in the Bible. Some people listened to God, and some people didn't listen to God. And it's still that way today. Some people listened to God, and some didn't listen to God. Paul, when he was on Damascus Road, you know, God came down in a great light, and He spoke to Paul. And Paul listened to God, and his life was changed. His life became powerful. Paul became a powerful man of God because he listened on God. Judas listened on Satan. Satan spoke to him. And where did Judas end up? Judas ended up committing suicide. He was a terrible disaster. Peter listened on God. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter stood up and the power of God was upon him and he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, Peter became a powerful vessel of God. Ananias and Sapphira listened on Satan. Said, why has Satan filled your heart to lie against the Holy Ghost? And they dropped dead. Stephen listened on God, and he preached the truth. And he preached all the way to the end. And he entered into the glories of heaven. And to think of Jonah, he didn't listen on God. He ended up down in a belly's well. In the belly of a well. And Noah is another one that listened on God. Noah went out and built an ark out on dry land because God told him to. People thought he was crazy, but he was listening on God. He followed God's instructions. He did it just like God told him to. That's the kind of a life that God wants you and I to be. He wants us to be in tune with God, that we hear the voice of God, and we know what God wants us to do, and we do what God wants us to do, and we follow the Word of God as He reveals it to us, whether it be through our preaching of the Word, through the reading of the Bible, whether it be through observing someone else's life, or whether it be through a still, small voice speaking to you in the night. God speaks to you. He speaks to me. And it's my desire that I would be more sensitive, continually be more sensitive to hearing the voice of God. And it's my desire that every one of us, as a body, would have that ear tuned into God, not only to hear Him, but to listen on Him and to walk in the ways that God prescribes for you and for me. So let's consider Jesus. Consider the work that He's done for us. Consider all that He is to us. And let's yield ourselves unto Him. Like we heard this morning of the convert's testimony, how they gave their life to Jesus. Let's all give our lives to Jesus, that we would walk with Him, that we would be vessels to be used of Him in any way that He sees fit to use us. I just want to encourage every one of us, myself as well. I'm not perfected in this, but I do love to hear the voice of God. And I know that one of the big holdbacks, one of the big hindrances is many times we almost don't even have enough of faith to ask God for answers sometimes. God wants us to come and ask Him for answers. And when we ask for answers, God will give answers. He will speak to us. He is there for us. He's not holding anything back from us. God wants to speak to us, and He wants us to show us the way. He wants to lead us every day. He will reveal His heart to us if we have our heart tuned in to Him. So that's my challenge to each one of us this morning. We might learn to walk with God. We might learn to follow God. We might submit to God in all the things that He has for our lives, because He has nothing but good in mind for every one of us. He has nothing but the best in mind for every one of us. We can't go wrong following God. We can't go wrong listening to God, listening on God. It will always turn out right. God won't lead us wrong. So let's keep our ear tuned in to God. Let's not allow Satan to interfere. And let's not listen on Satan. Let's keep our ears tuned in on God at all times. Brother James.